Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warm up from the below. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Heaps with myself, Craig Heaps Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to have on Rob Donaldson. He does great work over at youtube.com/Rob Donaldson, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball all 12 months out of the year. We're going to be chatting with him about how he does approach the offseason, some of the moves that have been of impact for him, how to gauge these teams in general that are going through these coaching changes, and we're going to be just deciphering what teams you do want to be noting in terms of perhaps putting a little bit of a star around them, because I've been talking a lot about these coaches that they come in, they bring a lot of players with them. I think that that is something very important to take a look at, and Rob is going to be sharing some of those things that he's going to be taking a look at for this offseason in segment number two. In the final segment, saw a lot of movement in the transfer portal. I'm going to give you guys those news and notes on the flip side, and then we're going to be touching upon in segment number one a few coaching moves that we did see as well. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter/xtimeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, literacy, name does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And before I go any further and we take a look at some of the coaches' moves that we did see from Friday in college basketball, always be trying to note some of the things that are out of sight, out of mind. I think that this is so important, and by this I mean we did see a player that did not play at all this college basketball season decide he is going to be returning to school for another year. And I think that these can be some of the guys that lend the most upside in all of college basketball, and that would be Zach Fremantle. He was supposed to be a stud for Xavier prior to him getting hurt in the offseason, missed the entirety of the 2023-24 campaign. Last we saw him during the 2022-23 season was injured, and he was out for the remainder of February and March that season, but he was averaging 15 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, just could not get out there on the court this past season, and that was part of the issue for Xavier this last season. Xavier was just all out of sorts because their season was essentially over before it began. I wish I could put it any other way, but Xavier lost darn near their entire front court while they were doing a solid job of being able to get some of these guys in as good of position as humanly possible. I did like what they were able to do in the transfer portal, bringing in Abdu Usman and company. It was not the roster that we were expecting from Sean Miller. Being able to get Zach Fremantle back in the fold is very big. I know that there's a few other guys they're going going to be having decisions as to whether or not they're going to be returning to Xavier as well after they missed pretty much the entirety of the season as well. So I do look at a team like Xavier. I do think that they're a team that's going to be providing a lot of upside moving forward, as you could tell the loss of someone like a Jerome Hunter was also very much weighing on that team, as well as he was a guy that was supposed to be pretty much the heir apparent to Zach Fremantle, the number two forward, and both of those guys getting hurt before the season. That was rough. But also, speaking of rough, how about what Chicago State is going to be going through? They are finally able to get into a conference. Gerald Gillian, he did a tremendous job with this program, and I think that when we take a look at best and worst coaches in all of college basketball, we need to keep a sliding comparison, because I mean, you can call me crazy if you want, but I feel like Gerald Gillian did a top 20 job in all of college basketball in his three seasons over at Chicago State. He inherited a mess. Prior to him getting there, they were coming off of a 2020-21 campaign where they had to shut it down after something like 10 or so games. They had went in that season a whopping 0-9 under the tutelage of Lance Irvin. They did not play a single game, I believe, to the tune of single digits. They were getting outscored by an average of 33 points per game. You're number one. He's able to get them to 7 wins, which it doesn't sound like a whole heck of a lot, but when you had 0 wins the season before, yeah, that is a little bit of something. And yeah, actually brought talent to Chicago State. It's very unfortunate that the two twins that he tried to bring in the, I believe it is the Bewley brothers, were unable to get out there on the floor. But as an independent school, Chicago State, they were able to go to a postseason tournament in the CBI. They won a game against UC San Diego. They won on the road. They won at Northwestern. I mean, this is a big loss for Chicago State, the fact that Gillian is out of the fold. He is going to be essentially the associate head coach now at Long Island, and very interesting to see what Long Island is doing. They now have the top paid coach in Hot Rod Strickland, who just has not been able to get it online here in his first 2 years over there. But now they made Gerald Gillian the number two top paid coach within that conference as well. So very interesting what Long Island has done. They've got the highest paid coach and the second highest paid coach both on the same staff. And then we did see Dan Monson get picked up very, very quickly. Dan Monson, he is going to be becoming the next coach over at Eastern Washington. We all recall the story from last season when he led Long Beach State to the NCAA tournament as pretty much a dead man walking, and you figure that Dan Monson was going to be picked up by someone, and it's going to be intriguing to see what Eastern Washington is able to get out of him, because he obviously has a lot of familiarity on the West Coast. He was the man that got Gonzaga to that Elite Eight in 2000, goes on over to Long Beach State for many, many years, and he was able to make a few NCAA tournaments while I was over at Long Beach State, and he did a nice job of being able to bring in some big men. Traore Squared was relatively solid. It was a case where with Long Beach State, it certainly was a little bit of hit or miss for them throughout the years. It was a case where Long Beach State, I would never say, truly bottomed out. They never really lived up to expectations past the, I would say, 2012-2013 season. They made a NCAA tournament appearance in 2012 and then had a hiatus for about a decade or so, but you sort of know what you're getting there. And Eastern Washington has built themselves up as a power out there in the Big Sky, and for Eastern Washington, they have really burned through coaching like crazy, because this is a program that has done a really nice job of being able to pluck these guys out of, for lack of a better term, sort of mediocrity. In terms of David Riley, he did a really good job with the program, and he took over after Shante Leggins decided that he was going to be taking that job over at Portland. You saw prior to that, Jim Hayford have one of the best scores in all of college basketball during like the 2015-16 season before he decided to take that gig over at Seattle, as he did a nice job training Tyler Harvey and getting him to become an NBA draft prospect. And for Eastern Washington, they're just a team that in general has been able to do a nice job of being able to replace coaches, and you just do find that with some of these programs like VCU. Every single time they made a coaching hire, they just know what they are doing, and sometimes when it comes down to it, it's all about the admissions, it's all about the guys that are evaluating the talent. And Eastern Washington, to this point, they've known what the heck they are doing with regards to these coaching hires. Perhaps they've struck gold with another one in Dan Monson. This time they're going for a little bit more of a proven commodity, but going to be very interesting to see what happens there. And with what happened at Long Beach State towards back half of the season, would not doubt if there's quite a few guys from Long Beach State that might want to be following him as well. So we did see that go down on Friday, and we're going to be highlighting a lot more of the player movement that we saw on Friday in the next segment. But coming up next, how about if we do talk with our good friend Rob Donaldson? It has been a crazy last week or so of college basketball, as we have seen a lot of coaches change change places. Kentucky has landed on their man. We're going to be talking about some of the coaching changes that we've seen and some of the things that Rob Donaldson is taking a look at this offseason in terms of teams that he's probably going to be bullish and bearish on for this upcoming season. That's up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Love You Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man, Rob Donaldson. He does great work with the show slash podcast, The Rob's Best Bet Show, over on YouTube.com/Rob Donaldson. Does an amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of baseball. I know that he's doing absolutely excellent work taking a look on so many different fronts with regards to this football offseason as well. He, much like myself, absolutely loves the college basketball landscape as well. And my goodness gracious, we have seen ourselves a heck of a college basketball offseason thus far. And to be able to follow Rob on Twitter/X, that is at RobDFB altogether. And Rob, I know that now we're into baseball betting now that the college basketball season has come to an end. But how about this offseason that we've had thus far? Great to be able to talk about it with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that's definitely changed the news cycle around college basketball has been the transfer portal. I mean, not only are more athletic departments starting to get heavily involved in their programs, but obviously players are bouncing in and out of teams, and even coaches now are. It's kind of like a free-for-all is what it kind of feels like most off seasons. And so that gives us some fodder to talk about. And it's great having college basketball year-round.
Oh, it certainly is. And my goodness gracious, what have you made out of the last few days of coaching changes? Because, I mean, right now we've got Chicago State that's right now entered in the coaching carousel of all teams as well. But, I mean, obviously at the Power Conference level, we've seen a lot happen in the SEC. Now BYU is on the prowl looking for a coach as well. And it is just wild, all the movement that we've seen over the last few weeks.
It's been high level and high brand name coaches. You had guys like Pat Kelsey, who were, you know, just one of those mid-major coaches that's been the hot commodity for a long time. And you have guys like John Calipari and Eric Musselman getting involved in the cycle as well. And so it's just been a bunch of big names. Obviously, players getting involved in the portal that are some pretty big names, and even guys coming back like Tyrese Proctor to Duke. It's just been a really fun, fascinating cycle, and I'm all for it. It's growing the game, and it's building interest.
Absolutely, and out of all the coaching hires that you've seen this offseason, are there a few in general that do catch your eye, whether that be to the positive or the negative? Because I do take a look at this coaching cycle, and I really can't say that there's been a ton of really poor coaching moves. Now, I do feel like Kentucky probably should have gotten a little bit of a bigger name than Mark Pope. They obviously got turned down by a lot of different folks, to say the least, like it or not. That is the case on that front. But I take a look all in all, and there hasn't really been a lot of coaching moves where I said, man, I don't know if that guy's going to be able to do anything at insert university here.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting when you kind of look at the hires that were across the board, because like you said, I don't think there was bad hires. And even the coaches that, you know, resigned or kind of left under, you know, after a poor season, I think are going to upgrade the programs that they're going to. For example, like Andy Enfield, USC this past year, you know, fell short of expectations by a mile. But at the same time, Andy Enfield can coach, and at SMU with a program that is going to be involved heavily in the NIL portal and even just kind of throwing money at their sports programs in general, especially basketball, I think Andy Enfield landed in a great spot. And, you know, similar to Calipari going to Arkansas, maybe Kentucky can get a little bit of a spark with some new blood in there with Mark Pope. Maybe not. But I also think that the upside is going to be there with Arkansas and John Calipari with their NIL portal as well. So there's just a lot of great moves that are going to benefit both sides, and that's great for the game.
Yep, it is absolutely amazing for the game. And I do think that the SEC is going to be a conference of intrigue in the offseason, just because we have noticed with all these coaching moves, it's been very offense oriented. You lose a guy in John Calipari, who had Kentucky just playing a warp speed style that was very much based around being able to hit and make threes, but the defense, it was relatively lackluster. And while BYU was a relatively solid defense last year, as we know, they were a bunch that they chucked up with there, a bunch of threes as well. You've got an interesting case out there. And just how do you take a look at how the SEC might be approaching this offseason? Because I thought that out of all the conferences this past season, they turned the biggest 180 from what they were a few seasons ago, where it was all about defense in the SEC. Even though they were playing fast, there wasn't a lot of jump shooting. And this year, you could tell that that was very much improved with the guys that they brought in the transfer portal, like Tennessee bringing in a Dalton Kinect.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the coaching names within the SEC, and it's just nonstop killers. And even you look at Vanderbilt, they've upgraded to Mark Byington. I thought did an absolutely amazing job at James Madison. And from a talent accumulation standpoint, we'll see how much he's able to bring into Vanderbilt, just kind of factoring in academics and also just other SEC schools having a little bit of a better NIL package. But at the same time, I think he's going to be able to do a little bit more with less as opposed to Jerry Stackhouse. So even the bottom of the SEC is getting better, and South Carolina this past season took a major leap up. I think SEC is just finally the money is showing, and the money talks right now with the NIL world. So I think that the SEC is here to stay, and I think they're going to be a permanent fixture in college basketball.
Yep, I still remember a few seasons ago when they had just, I believe it was three teams make the NCAA tournament. One of those teams at Vanderbilt, they were in the first four going up against Wichita State. How much they have been able to improve from there, as we do have joining the show Rob Donaldson, who does great work over on youtube.com/Rob Donaldson, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I do think that there have been quite a few good hires out there at the mid-major level, like St. Louis bringing in Josh Schertz is something that I do like. And I think the big question mark for me in terms of some of these hires is whether or not these guys are going to be bringing in some of their own, because in a situation like Dusty May going on over to Michigan, I think that he'd be best served bringing in a lot of guys from Florida Atlantic, just going with guys that know the system in general. I'm not sure if that's something that you seek out with a lot of these teams, but I feel like South Florida, with bringing in all those Kennesaw State guys, they really got it right. And if you're looking for a betting standpoint with regards to some of these coaching changes, the coaches that bring in a lot of their own are the teams I like to bank on very much during the season.
Absolutely. You nailed it with South Florida and just kind of bringing in young blood and all the guys from Kennesaw State under Amir Abdur-Rahim. And even if you look at Austin Peay, you know, who brought over pretty much all of Northwestern State squad, you know, they made the A-Sun championship game in their first year in the conference. I do think that continuity is one, so very rare in college basketball that if you can have it, whether it's, you know, under the same university name or not, you're going to find a lot of success. And that just kind of speaks to one, finding chemistry with the guys on the floor, guys knowing their role, guys not trying to play hero ball or trying to iso ball every possession, because that's what gets teams bounced when it matters. And in those win or die scenarios, when you can kind of find that gel in that transfer portal and find some guys that maybe didn't come from the same schools, but at least know their roles and kind of mesh well, those are the teams that are going to find the most success.
Absolutely. As you're joining me on the show, we do have Rob Donaldson, who does a tremendous job taking a look at this great game of college basketball. And I do take a look at those teams. I do think that there's quite a bit of value there. And it is very much a defeatist effort to try to take a look at everyone in the transfer portal. Right now, we've got 1,500 plus players that are in there. There's going to be more that enter within the next few weeks. And very few of these guys have made up their minds, but how much do you take a look at what is not getting talked about? These teams that they don't have a lot of guys in the transfer portal. Like, I love that you brought up Tyrese Proctor with Duke. I think that there's a lot of value in taking a look at the teams that are getting no buzz whatsoever, because if a team's not getting buzz, if a team's not getting talked about in terms of the transfer portal, that means that they're probably retaining a lot of their own guys.
Absolutely. And continuity is so darn important. And that's kind of why we saw a team like Yale, for example, this past season, just have, you know, one of those runs and one of those special runs, and even pulled off an upset in the NCAA tournament. It's just a rarity when you have a lot of upperclassmen in your lineup and a lot of upperclassmen that are used to playing on the same floor with each other for over 2-3 year spans. And so if you can have that and not have the transfer portal distractions on top of everything, that continuity is going to give you such a great advantage. And, you know, even 10 years ago, that was the same case, where if you're a returning upperclassman, you're going to have great teams. Well, now it's even more of an emphasis because there's so many different parts moving in the transfer portal, and it's basically free agency, and there's no real program developed talent anymore. And if you have it, you're different.
Yep, I agree with you with Marquette. They really did a nice job with that the last few seasons. I think that Tyler Kolick is the only guy that they brought in the transfer portal ever since Shaka Smart really was able to get his fingerprints on that program. So that is something that I do take a look at. But as we know, with regards to the transfer portal in this day and age, I don't think that teams can absolutely avoid it. It's going to be interesting to see what Michigan State does this offseason, because other than Ty Walker, they really haven't utilized that at all. And I feel like that's been to their disadvantage. How do you take a look at a lot of these teams and their portal usage? Because I do think that the ones that, as I was alluding to, they completely avoid it, they're falling behind. But I just have noticed with the teams that have been able to thrive, a team like a UConn bringing in Cam Spencer, one nice piece, but not completely building in the transfer portal. You got a team like Alabama. They brought in a few guys in the portal, but many of those guys, even if they were brought in via the portal, like a Mark Sears, they was already there for a year prior to this Final Four run. I do think that it is very big for these teams to be able to address some needs, but at the same time, not go completely overboard and like the, for lack of a better term, sorry to throw a stray here, the Eric Musselman style, bringing in like 10 guys via the portal.
Absolutely. And there's really no difference between that style of just kind of collecting a bunch of portal talent in comparison to, let's just start five freshmen and see how they do. Because at certain points in the season, you just have to have, again, those complementary pieces that know their roles, because these guys who are entering the portal because they're very good talents. When you're very talented like that, more often than not, you want the ball in your hands. So what happens when they're not getting the ball in their hands and they hit a 3-game losing streak in the middle of the season at a high major program? Well, there's going to be some frustration, I imagine. Or if you have some guys who are kind of cool-headed and are veterans and just kind of know how to gel a team, well, then you might not have those kinds of woes. And so I do think it all kind of comes down to striking a nice balance between young guys who are in the program, who know the culture, and also bringing in complementary pieces through the portal. And you brought up Cam Spencer, and now even look at, you know, Purdue in the championship game with like a Lance Jones. I think those are guys who, you know, knew their roles when they were coming into the team, executed their roles, didn't do too much, and really kind of bought in, and they were rewarded for it.
Yeah, they certainly were rewarded for it, and that was a massive season for them, to say the least. And I just want to get your general thoughts here, because we are going to be in for a long off season. We're going to be in for 7+ months. We're going to be seeing a lot of player movement. The NBA draft decisions, those are going to be a little bit more hot and heavy in about a month or so when we do get the NBA draft combine going on and things like that. But just how do you approach the college basketball offseason? Because I don't think that this is a case where we need to have people over the next few weeks, like spending 45 hours a week looking at the transfer portal, trying to gather, as I refresh, verbal commits, the 1,628 players in the transfer portal. I think that that would be a little bit overwhelming and just a defeatist effort in general. But I do know that there's quite a few people that need to try to cram like 48 hours prior to the start of the college basketball season. And with 362 D1 teams, that is not going to turn out well for them.
Absolutely. And the way that I kind of choose to narrow it down, because like you said, there's thousands of dudes in the portal. There's coaching changes all over the place. There's 300 plus programs that we have to kind of monitor. It's impossible to kind of keep a scope on everything that's going on. And so what I kind of do, and this has been my personal philosophy over the years, is we all know teams like Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Baylor, whatever else, you know, you name the top teams in college basketball. We already know that the margins for them and their improvement aren't going to be as drastic as some of these mid-majors. And so when I'm kind of looking at, you know, the teams that from a betting perspective are going to be the most rewarding from, you know, just producing profit game by game, I'm looking at the teams that have the margins from lower level in their conference or maybe just kind of in the middle and who could rise to that top echelon, whether it's, you know, in the Big Sky or the Mountain West or whatever else. And if you're kind of narrowing in on those teams, I think you're going to extract a lot more value with kind of being keen on them rather than being enamored with what Kansas is doing in the portal as if they never had that talent in past years.
Absolutely. And I do think that there's much more value in trying to prepare for a lot of these good betting opportunities in November, December, and beyond, rather than trying to extrapolate value in the futures market, just because with all the transfer movement, if you get the wrong NBA draft decision, you could have a futures ticket that is completely toasted. Meanwhile, trying to bet on futures this offseason, granted, you might be able to find a team that's like at 100-1, they bring in a nice haul, you're able to get something better there, but these teams are short shots. It's not like you're going to be getting a whole heck of a lot more value there, and I feel like with regards to the futures market right now, there's a lot more to lose rather than gain if you're taking a look at any team that I would say is below about 40-1 or so.
Absolutely. And you kind of compare it to the odds of what are they going to be in November. And I don't think a lot of these odds are going to be drastically different. And do you really want to sit on just that money that left your account and is just sitting there for all the way
11 months,
and even more if you're kind of factoring in, you know, going all the way until next the actual NCAA tournament to hedge your bets on the futures market? So it's just kind of crazy that people kind of dive in this early, because although maybe you can extract the value or some identify some teams who can potentially make some runs, there's just so many moving parts and there's not really a benefit of having your money just tied up all summer long.
Absolutely. As Rob Donaldson, who does great work with the Rob's Best Bet Show, joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I do want to open up a little bit here. It could be a team that perhaps are on the cusp of something. Maybe it's moves that they've already done. But in terms of teams that you are looking at and either you like what they've done thus far or you think that they might be doing something, who are a few teams that you do have your eye on right now? Because right now we are very early on in the process. So I don't want to be having like end all be all winners slash losers and a way too early top 25. Yeah, it is way too early for it because right now a lot of rosters. Well, there are no rosters right now. But that said, is there any teams this offseason that you currently have your eye on slash you look at what they've done thus far and you're relatively impressed?
And it starts with St. Louis and for me, just because if they can turn that into, you know, the St. Louis Sycamores, I would definitely be intrigued for them all season long, because kind of going back to what we talked about where, you know, one, Indiana State was one of the most talented teams in all college basketball last season. They're hungry. I mean, they got, you know, snubbed from the NCAA tournament in their minds. Now they have a higher NIL package. They have a higher stage. And I think they're going to take advantage of it if those guys all come across. And, you know, if you're kind of even looking further past that, I kind of mentioned at the beginning, but I really love what SMU did bringing in Andy Enfield. And I think they're bought into, one, putting together some really strong NIL packages and just being active in the portal. And so I think SMU is a team to monitor, because I think that their strides, even more so from this past year, are going to be very, very noticeable.
SMU, they've got a lot of money to be able to spend. I don't know if that's going to translate year number one into great success, but those pockets are very deep over there in SMU. And fortunately for us, we were able to have our pockets be deep enough to be able to get you aboard, Rob, and we are all the more thankful for it, because you do an amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know, love of college basketball. I know that while you're gauging everything in the college basketball offseason, you're doing a great job on the baseball front as well. So love the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Well, Greg, I appreciate you sending out that six-figure check, because I've been needing it. And as always, I appreciate you having me on. And I'm looking forward to kind of continuing monitoring, you know, the transfer portal, coaching changes, because now we got a spot open at BYU. So does that set in a chain of motion? Who knows? I think it's going to be a fun next couple weeks here, even with what the moves we already have. And for those who want to follow me, you can do so at RobDFB on Twitter or X and on YouTube. Just my name, Rob Donaldson. And as always, Greg, really appreciate having me on.
Absolutely. Rob does a tremendous job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. And every single time he joins me, lends great insight. So a big thanks to Rob for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Coming up next, another rambunctious day of college basketball. I recap the news and notes that we saw from college basketball on Friday.
Get emotional with me, Riley Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Riley Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Soups with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson, now part of the VSIP Family Podcast. Always great to be able to get Rob Donaldson aboard. He does amazing work taking a look at this great game of college basketball all 12 months out of the year. I know that he, much like myself, is very much looking forward to what is going to be an amazing 2024-25 season, but he is putting in the work to be able to make it a successful season every single time he joins the show. Lends great insight. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Soups. Now it is that time of the podcast that we give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. We did see a pair of Dukies decide that they are going to be entering into the NBA draft, and I am pretty sure that they are not going to be maintaining their eligibility. Jeremy Cain, along with Kyle Filipowski, this was very much to be expected for Filipowski when he was not dealing with court storming. He was very good out there on the floor, and he's going to be someone that gets picked up by an NBA team. Now, the tape that he put out there on NC State, I don't care if you love, hate, or feel indifferently about him, that was not great, to say the least, but so 16.5 points, 8.5 boards. He's someone that's 7 feet tall that's able to pop the three at about a 35% clip while being able to block shots. When he's not going up against C.J. Burns, was relatively solid on the defensive side of things as well. So I think that he's going to need to have a nice combine and just nice workouts in general to be able to rebuild some of that stock. But figured that he was going to be going to the NBA, and I do think that he's going to be solid in the NBA. And then for McCain, he was tremendous this last season from three-point. Shot 41.5% from three, 88.5% at the free throw line. A peer score that still is able to do a nice job. I'll be able to log about five boards for you. I think that this is a little bit more of an upside guy that a lot of people are sleeping upon in terms of just this draft in general. It's not very strong, to say the least. Donovan Klingon, he declared for the NBA draft, and I mean, Donovan Klingon was tremendous over at UConn, but in how many years will we be talking about Donovan Klingon being perhaps a top five pick? I'm not sure if it would be overly many. I don't think that it certainly would have been this past NBA draft, and I do take a look at this circumstance, and I do think that for McCain, he's going to be able to go relatively high in this draft. And by the way, speaking of Klingon, Giant of the Year, 2.5 blocks per contest, was so instrumental in UConn being able to win those two titles. Him entering into the NBA draft, very much to be expected, but that is something that did come down on Friday as well. And then we saw Gibson Jimerson decide that he is going to be returning to St. Louis. He has pulled his name out of the transfer portal, so already a win for Josh Schertz. We were talking about this with our good friend Rob Donaldson, with Gibson Jimerson, just a really good spot-up shooter. You need to see him be able to work on the defense a little bit, but he's going to be using up a COVID year because he only played 10 games as a freshman. I think that he was able to get another year of eligibility that way as well, as he's already spent 5 years on the campus of St. Louis, so this guy's going to be going for like a doctorate when it's all said and done. But a career 39.5% three-point shooter, averaged 15.8 points per game this past season, was a little bit less efficient, but I mean, he was, you know, with the St. Louis program that under Travis Ford, it got worse and worse every single year. So I think that this is going to be a big impact guy, and him in that Josh Schertz system I think is going to be absolutely tremendous for him. We touched upon the fact that Gerald Gillian is going to be heading on over to LIU Long Island in the first segment, that it's very, very much rough for them. So we shall see what sort of mass exodus there is going to be in the transfer portal. We have already noticed a few guys that have entered into the portal. AJ Neal was one of those guys, and AJ Neal was a relatively rock solid player while he was over at Chicago State last season, and I would expect a lot of people to be entering into the transfer portal from Chicago State. They are now entering into a new conference as well. They are no longer going to be our lone D1 affiliate, but That said, with Neil last season, he was able to be a nice player, and there are a lot of guys that if they decide that they are going to leave Chicago State, I do think that they're going to find nice landing spots. Neil was a former top 300 recruit, was able to supply the team with about 5 points per contest, has never been the world's greatest three-point shooter at about 30% three-point shooting, but was able to make some nice contributions on the defensive side of things and felt like he was getting better and better as the season went along. TJ Gadsden, he is going to be reopening his commitment as it was looking like he was going to be heading on over from Canisius over to Mount St. Mary's, but now it looks like it is going to be very much an open-ended situation, and this is someone that was able to be a relatively solid player when he was able to get out there on the floor last season. He put up about 9.5 points, 4.5 boards per contest, would have been a nice get for the Mount, a Mount team that was overall relatively well-rounded last season. Gadsden did miss a little bit of time last season, and you'd like to see him shoot a little bit better than 28.5% from three-point range, but someone that's able to do a pretty solid job as a plus defender, 6'7" wing, so we shall see where he is going to be going for Utah. One of their lesser players decided that he was going to be entering into the transfer portal as he just didn't get a lot in general with about a half a point to a point per contest and a lot of garbage minutes for one of our good friends, and Luka Tarlik, he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, and there's just a lot of these guys who are entering right now. We've got north of 1,600 players currently in the transfer portal, and that doesn't even include some of these junior college guys, as Arizona State, they decided to claim one of the better guys out there in the junior college market. You've got Jeremiah Nakaro. He is going to be taking a look at things. It looked like he was going to be going to Arizona State. Averaged 14 points, 5.5 rebounds per game while he was over at Western Texas College. That's one of the better junior college schools out there. He is now back out there in the market, so we're going to be seeing where he lands. And these junior college guys, they've come in and they made bigger and bigger impacts. There are certain schools that have been trying to specialize in this. I know that Arizona State has brought in a few junior college guys. We saw Kansas State be able to strike gold when they brought in Nequan Tomlin a few seasons ago as well. Heck, even Kansas decided to do that with Dion Graham Foster. Did not work out for him while he was over at Kansas, but certainly worked out for Grand Canyon when he got a second lease on life for a little bit of a lack of better term. So I do think that it's going to be interesting to gauge some of these junior college guys, and that's something that I'm going to be keeping you guys abreast about as well. And then you've got Jalen Jones. He was rock solid over at Tennessee State this last season. He's going to be heading on over to Oakland. Oakland is going to be looking a little bit different with Jack Golke not in the fold, and I don't think that he's going to be quite the replacement for Golke. He was mostly a sixth man for Tennessee State last season. Came off the bench, 9 points, 2.5 assists, 4 boards, shot 36.5% from three-point range. A master of doing everything relatively solid. He was a freshman last season, so he's got a lot of room to be able to develop, and those are the guys that you'd like to see, because when you do bring in these guys in year one, year two, if you're able to keep them in the program for multiple years, that is just absolutely massive for them. And I mean, these are these sorts of transfers that are also massive as well, as Maryland, they had Jonathan Lamathi, hopefully I said that correctly, in their program. They just didn't have any minutes for him whatsoever. He's decided that he is going to be going to North Carolina A&T, and I mean, that's a good get for North Carolina A&T, as someone who was touted coming out of high school. I'm not going to say he was like a five-star guy or anything like that. I would need to look up the exact recruiting rankings, but that said, someone who's 6'4", was able to spend some time at the power conference level, being able to bring in someone like that, that is really good for a North Carolina A&T team that just light up. They're going to need guys to be able to develop into their system, and I do think that that's a good place for them to be able to start. I mean, for Radford, this is a model that has worked out relatively well for them, as well as they just look all across the boulevard to be able to bring in guys. And Jarvis Moss, he has decided that he is going to be coming in. Last season spent at Davidson and just was unable to get out there on the court in general, and it was a bad year to say the least as well when it came to the Davidson Wildcats, and for that matter Radford. Radford always known for their defense, and this past season it was relatively rough for them. But for Jarvis Moss, he actually began his career over at Stanford, was unable to get out there on the floor, but I believe that he was sort of like a top 300 recruit. For some reason it just didn't work out for him at Davidson, but he's still out there in the northeast part of the country. He's still out there in the great state of North Carolina slash just in that area in general in Radford. So I do think that this is going to be something that works out for him, and hopefully he's just able to get a few more minutes in general, because first two stops for him weren't necessarily great. And unlike last season when you did have those guys that were two-time transfers not be able to get out there on the floor, I believe that we should not be seeing these two- and three-time transfers have any sort of an issue getting out there on the floor, but that's something that does remain to be seen. And this one I think is a little bit surprising. We've got a guy who is honestly solid at the D1 level. He is heading on over to Division II Missouri Western. Now, it's not like some sort of massive name or anything like that, but Devin Butler was a part of the VMI team a season ago. He was able to play in 32 games. He averaged 6.5 points. I mean, he was a contributor for VMI. Granted, one of the worst defenses in all of college basketball, but last season shot right around about 34% from three-point range. Him heading on down to the Division II level, heading on over to Missouri Western, that really speaks to where VMI is at right now. I wish I could put it any other way, but we have been seeing this a little bit more and more, but that's a big-time issue for them. You're also noticing that Malik Arrington, who was over at Idaho State, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Seattle. We saw a few guys make their decisions on Friday, as it's not just guys entering into the transfer portal anymore, as there's 100 million billion of those, but this is a nice gift for Seattle. They are going to be undergoing a little bit of a facelift. They lose a lot of that core from a season ago, including Cam Tyson, who was in college for 500 million billion years, but Arrington was a nice distributor. He did turn the ball over about 2.5 times per contest while he was over at Idaho State, but he was able to contribute about 11.8 points per contest, chipped in there 3.5 rebounds, was able to generate 2.3 steals per contest as well, played in a very slow and controlled style over at Idaho State as well. Seattle, not a team that's going to be absolutely running it and gunning it themselves, so I do think that this is going to be a move that works out relatively well for all parties, and you do like to see that. 7-footer Bent Lutken, he was over at UC Irvine's outside for the Anteaters. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, and this is a guy that I think can have his game really translate. He's a 7-footer that's able to pop threes. Last season over at UC Irvine was a pretty rock-solid defender while being able to be a solid three-point shooter throughout his career. He did shoot just 22%. This last season shot 36% from three-point range 2 seasons ago. I don't think he's as good as that 36%. I don't think he's as bad as that 22% from this past season, but he's able to affect shots with about a block per contest. He's able to go outside. He's able to shoot from the perimeter as well, so I do think that this is going to be someone that a lot of teams could covet, and even if he goes up to the power conference level, I don't think they'd be seeing Mondo minutes at the power conference level, but I do think that he could be a little bit of a spark plug guy off the bench. And then we did see for BYU a few guys enter in the transfer portal, including Ali Khalifo. He was one of the more underrated guys, in my opinion, for BYU last season. He did a nice job with his overall versatility. Wasn't a dominant scorer or anything like that coming over from Charlotte, but at 6'10", he gave up 4 assists, 4 boards, 5.5 points per contest. One of those guys that doesn't do one thing great, but he does everything relatively solid for his career. He's been about a 35.5% three-point shooter. I'd imagine a lot of schools would love to be able to bring him in. If he goes down to the lower slash mid-major level, I think that he could be a little bit more of a dominant scorer, but if he is up at the power conference level like he was this last season over at BYU, I think that he'll be a relatively solid role player. This was a do-it-all sort of player that has entered in the transfer portal, and he is one of the top scorers that we're finding in the portal as well. Landon Glasper, he last season was playing over at North Carolina A&T, and he essentially was the offense for him. He and Camden Shell, I mean, they were really the lone guys that were giving you much offense at all. He chipped in there 21 points per contest, 3.5 boards. Wasn't necessarily a great shooter at 30% from three, but he had the green light because a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for other guys. Going to be interesting to see how teams gauge him in the transfer portal because he was very much a high usage guy, and I mean, the numbers there were a little bit artificial because there was just nobody else on the team to be able to take those shots, but certainly someone that I think a lot of teams are going to be chasing in the transfer portal. And then speaking of BYU, their main facilitator from a season ago, Dallin Hall, he is in the transfer portal. 5 assists, 9 points per contest over at BYU. Shot 36% from 3-point range. Now, he also did shoot 63% the free throw line. I feel like I do need to point that out, but going to be very interesting to see what happens with he, Ali Khalifa, all these other guys that I figure from BYU are going to be entering into the transfer portal in the coming hours and the coming days, because these guys, they can perhaps go on over to Kentucky. We shall see what happens there. And I do think that it would be wise if you do see Mark Pope decide to bring over some of the guys from BYU over to Kentucky. Now, might be a little bit of a culture shock for them, figuratively and literally, but I do think that that would be very, very good. And I do think that a lot of the coaches that do take that approach, they've got the right idea in mind. And then we did see Michael Hoagie, who is a big part of that St. Peter's Peacocks team a season ago, decide that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. Rock solid player with about 8.5 points, 5.5 boards per contest this past season. Began his career over at the junior college level, and I do think that he's someone that a lot of teams should be taking a look at. Wasn't necessarily able to do the world's greatest job of, you know, pop threes, but was a part of one of the more rock-solid defenses in all of college basketball. So I do think that he's going to be a solid add for someone, as is RJ Gottfried. He was part of that Clemson team from a season ago. Wasn't one of their main guys, wasn't going out there giving you double figures or anything like that, but he was able to do a nice job of being able to contribute to the cause. About 6 points, 3.5 rebounds per game. Shot when he took threes, 43% from distance, but that was a very, very small amount of threes, to say the least. But I do think that there should be a little bit of interest there, and I do think that he could be able to make a nice little bit of an impact moving forward as well. And then in terms of other guys that decide where they're going to be going, we didn't see overly many of them. But that said, Cruz Davis, he was over at St. John's this last season, just had a tough time finding minutes in general. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Hofstra, and we've seen Hofstra do this with a lot of guys that they just don't get a lot of playing time in general at a little bit of a bigger school. They come in and they're able to make an instant impact. For Cruz Davis at Iona during the 2022-23 season, was able to average 6.5 points per contest. He came over with Rick Pitino over from Iona. You figured that he was going to be more of a culture and glue guy, and that certainly turned out to be the case, as he just was unable to get out there on the floor this past season. I think that he played in 4 total games, so we shall see what sort of impact he's going to be making, but he has decided that he is going to be going to Hofstra. And again, I do think that there's a lot of upside with these guys, and there's just certain programs that you give the benefit of the doubt to. They just have a nice way of being able to take a look at things, and they have a nice way to be able to pluck out talent. Hofstra, with the way that they have brought in transfer guards, has certainly been one of them. Elijah Hutchins-Everett, he just was unable to get out there on the floor this last season while he was playing over at Seton Hall. After 2 seasons ago, he was playing for the old Austin Peay Governors. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Was the Rookie of the Year in the Ohio Valley during the 2021-22 campaign. Previous year at Austin Peay, 11.5 points, 5.5 boards. He's able to pop threes. He's right around about 6'9" or so, shot about 32.5% from distance. And while he was a nice glue guy defender for Seton Hall, and saw some meaningful minutes, about 13 minutes per game, didn't make too much of an impact out there on the floor. 3.5 points, 2.5 rebounds per game. Have to figure that he's looking for a little bit of a bigger role and to feature himself just a tad bit more. So he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as. And then in terms of actual commitments, this is probably one of the biggest ones that we did see from Friday. JP Peaks, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Auburn. He was tremendous while he was over at Furman the last few seasons. 18.5 points, 4.3 boards, 4.8 assists per contest. Shot about 36% from three-point range. While he was at Furman, he was able to develop in every single year. He's got a really nice skill set in general, and he just feels like a guy that is going to fit that Auburn system. Would like to see him be a little bit better on the defensive side of things, as this guy got, like, absolutely no seals whatsoever in Furman. Well, they did play the Olay style of defense, but still, they're getting a really nice score. This Auburn system has been able to take in guys that have been a little bit more suspect on the defensive side of things, had them be able to develop. So I do think that this is going to be a tremendous add for them. And I mean, we have seen it time and time again from Bruce Pearl. When he's entered in the transfer portal, he's had a lot of success bringing these guys in. And then this shouldn't come as too much of a surprise, but Jaquan Moulton, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Talk about a guy that has lived in the transfer portal. That would be Jaquan Moulton, as this guy has been all over the place. Began his career over at Georgia, spent a few years there, went down to the junior college level for a year, spent a year at Wichita State. This past year at Memphis, he averaged about 8.5 points per contest. Didn't quite duplicate what he was able to do at Wichita State 2 seasons ago, when he was logging about 14 points, 5 boards, shot about 40% from 3-point range. He's got a nice frame at about 6'7", 200 pounds, a former top 100 recruit, according to ESPN. So should be very interesting to see what happens there. But we've got a lot that is happening in terms of coaching moves, in terms of the transfer portal. We're going to do our best to keep you guys abreast of all this to make this the most successful 2024-25 season that it could be. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of 2 ways to be able to offer those in. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at gnn_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And a big thanks once again to one of our good friends in Rob Donaldson for joining me in my segment, coming at you guys every single day throughout the year. And that means I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.